Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Come and take me away.
Now locked into the Truth Seeker podcast.
Gargoyles, psychics, everything's ungodly. Dark Savage.
Streaming live at truthseeker.com.
She's not a Christian.
Give it up, y'all.
Your portal to the paranormal, esoteric, and all things spiritual.
She's tampering in Dark Savage stuff.
And now, your host, Truth Seeker.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what's up? I'm your host, Truth Seeker. This is the Truth Seeker Podcast. Excited, delighted to be with you guys on this impromptu episode. We're doing this on a Tuesday night, 7:41 Central Time. Good episode plan. I'm ready to get into this discussion. But first, I can't go any further until I say a huge thank you to everybody who is supporting my work via Patreon. Could not do this without the help. So again, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for believing in my work, believing in my music and in the podcast and everything that I bring to the table. And you guys are helping me create community and create this stuff. So again, thank you. Special shout out to some of the latest patrons within the last week or two. Shout out to Beverly McLee. Thank you, Beverly, for coming on. Toby Malikan? Melikan. I butcher these names. I'm sorry. Charlene Duckworth. Hey, friend. How are you? Shayna. And yeah, thank you guys for coming on, believing in my work. You guys are awesome. So if you want to support my work, please head on over to patreon.com/truthseeker. There you get access to my entire discography of work. You get access to our Thursday night School of the Mystics, our Discord community, a whole bunch of really cool stuff. I'm working on an EP right now, which is called the ESP EP. Each song is inspired and influenced by one of the six senses. Getting into ESP, clairsentience, clairvoyance, claircognitive, clairaudience. So I've got a couple of those songs which are already available. If you go to patreon.com/truthseeker, you can get access to those right now. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring on my guest for the evening, Dr. Louis Turi. My friend, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much for having me on your show, my friend. Appreciate it.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Again, thank you for coming on to hang out with me, spend some time with me. A lot to talk about. You're a very active individual, getting knowledge, information, and truth out there. Always interesting topics that you cover. Unapologetic, not afraid to speak the truth, even though it may be contrary to popular opinion, popular belief. The truth is the truth, and at the end of the day, the truth will fight for itself. You've been on Coast to Coast AM several times and a bunch of other really big podcasting platforms. So thank you for gracing my audience and the Truth Seeker Podcast for coming on, hanging out with me. Appreciate that.
Again, you're surely welcome, my friend. And as far as the truth is concerned, the literature is never intended to please anybody. So I'll be here to offer you some of that truth, all right?
Okay, so, you know, before we really get into that, the truth is not here to please anybody. It offends people. But there are some people that kind of go out of their way to offend people. And I think I may be on kind of the backside of that. I kind of go out of my way a little bit now not to offend people, only because I've done the former first. I've been on this tirade of my truth is the truth, and especially coming from religion and dogma. Where does the balance there go? You just present it and just let the chips fall where they may?
Well, you know what? Like you said, you cannot hide the truth. It's pretty much like trying to hide the sun or the stars. Sooner or later, they're going to come back and, you know, kick your butt. You might as well just express yourself as honestly as you can and deliver the truth. That's what I do.
And you do a good job at that. You got some really great stories that I want to get into. I've listened to your story on a couple of different podcasts, and there's little questions that I pulled out of there. Well, I'm going to ask him about this. I'm going to go into detail about that. But I guess for starters, for people who aren't familiar with your work, kind of give a little bit of background of who you are and what you bring to the table.
Obviously, I'm French. Detect that through my heavy French accent. I've been in the States. In fact, I left France. I was 22 years old. That was in 1972, so a long time ago. And I was born and raised in the south of France, in Provence, where the great Nostradamus was born. I had nothing to do with him, apart from that I had some experiences that led me into mastering a 16th century divine astrology methodology, which allowed me to make unarguable predictions. And again, with your permission, later on, I'll give you some dates so that you can check on my claims.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to talk about too. You're really seasoned in astrology, right? And you play a lot of, you know what I'm saying, what you do off of the stars, correct?
That's correct. But for the lack of words, I have to advertise myself as a psychic, when actually I use a software, pretty much the same type of software that NASA uses to send a shuttle out there. However, I'm pretty aware that the stars are a little bit more than dent rock hanging out there for the sake of beauty. So this software allows me to plot the planet movement and as I understand the cosmic code jurisdictions, or pretty much how God speaks to his children, I translate the signs by working like Nostradamus used to do, by offering quatrains and keywords. Again, unlike the great prophet, I don't have to fear the French Inquisition. Lose my head. So
you have to use a lot of code words, like a John the Revelator in the Bible, right? Writing this book of code, you know?
Exactly. Even though that, you know, some people would love to see me frying on the stake nowadays, ridiculous in 2019. But again, I am a scientist, a very different type of scientist. And the fact is my predictions are so accurate. But I'm not saying this in an egocentric point of view, that he brought the FBI in my house twice. Four FBI agents came in my house wondering how the hell I knew when terrorist attacks were going to occur. And I told them, you know, not only do I do this, but I also give exact date for earthquakes above 6.0. So they were very, very, you know, interested, mesmerized. However, all the investigation they did on my case started with my green card, with my papers, with my police record, which I'm clear as a whistle. I didn't even have a parking ticket. But they never really honor the word science and investigate where I'm coming from so that we could save some lives. Pretty much the same with the scientific community, which would rather be caught dead than to dwell with an astrologer. So we are.
Yeah. So you mentioned the stars, and you kind of said that they were like, you know, coding or some type of spiritual or scientific technology that we have. I come from, you know, more of a biblical framework of studying the prophets and in the Bible. And the word prophet breaks down to the word seer. There were seers in the Bible, and those seers were stargazers, and they understood how to read the stars, and they knew the seasons and the times, and those seasons are very interesting, especially when it comes to being a psychic or just being able to deal with astrology, because as we change into different seasons, Just like in the natural, in the supernatural, we move into different seasons in one's life as well, right? To be able to do something, to be able to start a new venture. And there's certain times that are just right for us. Where does that come into play with the average everyday person being led or influenced by the stars?
Well, you inherited the UCI. UCI stands for Unique Celestial Identity. And you're born with sins and gifts, so to speak. It's pretty much like you're not going to teach Mozart or Beethoven how to play piano at the age of 10 years old. They were musical geniuses. Or you're not going to teach, for example, Michael Jackson to sing and dance. You've got to have a gift. And that's coming from your unique celestial identity at a very precise moment that you enter this dense physical world. You inherited this set of stars. But this is kind of it's not complicated, but you need to understand the basics. You cannot be born unless you die. So when the doctor takes you out of the warm uterine life of your mother, either the cold of the room or a smack on your bottom is enough to connect with the superconscious in time and space and inherit all your stars. So you die to that life. Then another umbilical cord is taking place, which is made of a very, very highly vibrating cosmic puzzles, for lack of words. And that's why when you get upset or scared, you can feel that warmth on your solar plexus or just in your stomach where that cord is connected. So when you die, this cord again gets disconnected and then you go back to God, to yourself, because you have been made in the image of God. So you're here to learn how to create. And this is why I always mention to my students, the future is nothing else than the reincarnation of the thought. And never ever separate yourself from the creator, because you are the creator. And sometimes people have a little bit of a problem to assimilate this fact. So I just tell them, look at the computer that you have in front of you or the car you drive. Tell me, what was that 100 years ago? Let's go further down the line. Let's talk about Paris, New York, Washington, Los Angeles. What was those cities 1,000 years ago? They did not exist. So the proof of the matter is that we have been made in the image of God. We also inherited that extraordinarily creating process. And a lot of people are not yet fully aware of this fact. So it's complex, but at the same time, it's easy, providing, you know, the one who educates you is rational and gives you some grounding.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of texts that go back to what the stars are, how they guide us, and those type of things. And so, I'm really interested in it, and I understand. I've been on this this study of seasons in the Bible, about how God has a way of turning the seasons and not being moved. And it talks about the wind not being shaken by the winds. And so even these cosmic winds that are going on above our heads in the heavenlies, it's as above, so below, as within, so without, on earth as it is in heaven. It's taking place within us as well. Where does it come to the do you have any information on the esoteric anatomy of man, of how we're like a mirror image of the heavens as well, and the solar system is within our bodies as well?
Well, first of all, as far as the biblical terms are concerned, it's important to understand that Jesus' initial ministry was cosmic in nature. That's why he wanted to introduce humanity to our Father in the heavens, so to speak. And of course, his ministry involved 12 apostles, which are represented by the 12 hours of the day, the 12 months of the year, the 12 sins, the 12 jury, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 notes of music. So you're talking about something that the Vatican has kept buried under the 175 miles of secret library. And people like me who were gifted in those days used to end up on the fire, because those people, greedy people, I may add, are reptilious infected, and they do not want to pass on the information which they control. They are organized, they are wealthy, and it's not in their interest to teach you that. And again, this is why, of course, and you can go to drturi.com and look on my website, every single popes were enthroned under the sign of Leo, and every single pope were taught astrology by the Vatican Council. These are facts that a lot of people do not know. And a lot of people that are PUs, either people, especially those born in October and in January, have a tendency to synchronize with the codification of what the book say, and they say amen. They don't have enough critical thinking to bypass the indoctrination. And that is a big problem. But as again, you know, as I said, with patients, every single human being is able to do what I do. I'm not special. I'm not unique. Providing you understand God never came down, wrote no books, but he made the stars. Providing you are willing to investigate the dynamic.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So the universe and the gearbox of the universal mind, you know, all my students did it, and they do exactly what I can do. And so can you. It's just a matter of education. Remember, knowledge is power. Ignorance is evil.
Also, you're kind of referring to the stars a little bit, and I know the scriptures talk about the morning stars sang out, like they have a song, whether that song is just their vibration or it's a tuning, that a pitch, a concert pitch that they project, the music of the spheres as well with the planets and everything has a song, really. As far as the stars being living entities, do you have any information on that? Are they living beings? I know the Book of Enoch and a lot of other old texts talks about the stars record the deeds of mankind and report them back to God. We hear different theories like that. Are the stars entities themselves, or are they some type of technology, which a lot of, even I'm hearing this from the flat earth community, believe that the stars are like this technology, advanced technology that you are supposed to follow, almost like a calendar, or to have those winds of change as well. I don't want to go down the flat earth thing. I'm just throwing that in. So
One thing you need to realize is that people can relate to each other because of their intelligence, their education, their experiences, and most of all, their stars. But without cosmic consciousness, they are just robots of their stars, and they can only use their five logical human rational senses. There is much more to it. As far as the universe is concerned, it was designed by the Draconis, which is the progressive group of extraterrestrial. And we can talk about the moon, just about the moon, because there is so much information about each one of these planets. But if you understand the basics of what the moon is all about and where she came from, that will answer your question. Now, the moon was hired from one of the many, many Jupiter's moons, and brought close to the solar system, close to the Earth in the solar system, so that she could be involved into the gravitational forces of the Earth. That's why you can see the moon is loaded with crater, and we are next door to the moon, and we don't have as much crater. That tells you that in a human understanding, those nuclear explosion produced from their ships were just like using a ping pong ball and push the moon without breaking it all the way to our solar system. Now, the moon is not hollow. The reason is very simple. You need enough mass for the moon to be able to rotate around the Earth. Secondly, this comes from people who don't have any cosmic consciousness, who have a very big imagination. And as I always say to my student, you got to be careful. There is a very thin hair between divine cosmic information and pure imagination. Not only the moon is not hollow, but she regulates the emotional response to life. And at a subconscious level, we have created words as loony, crabby, moody.
Yeah.
And we all know during the time of a full moon, all the emergency services are going berserk. And it's very difficult for some women who retain a lot of water to put a ring or take a ring during a full moon. You have also to realize the moon cycle is 22 and a half days, which correspond exactly to the female menstruation when they have their period. So, you know, you need to have logical information when you are looking for information that are very, very refined, especially when it comes to the universe. Extraterrestrials, because a lot of what I call them the talking heads out there who have no cosmic consciousness, most of them never seen a UFO and they never communicate like I do with an entity named Draco. And again, I can offer the proof of that through the succession of orbs, which are impossible to duplicate. And you can see those orbs from my website. It is critical for people to use critical thinking before trusting somebody or following somebody. And sad enough, most of this prominent UFO speakers like me have beans, and they attract a lot of people, and then they've been indoctrinated pretty much like into any form of religion to believe and trust the person who delivered the information, which are totally wrong. This led me also to make you aware that, again, one more time, I'm not special. Okay, what I do, anybody can do, it's just a matter of education. And for your information, every disappeared civilization, as you mentioned earlier, used the stars. They did not build their pyramid or erect their monument wherever they felt like. They are lined up with the stars. And during those days, there was no science. There was no astronomy. So it's important, again, to when you have some very famous television show and talking head on those TV show that referred to these ancient astronauts and astronomers. No, they were not astronomers because astrology was leading. There was, in fact, astronomy is a byproduct of astrology. There is so much misinformation out there, Derek. It's insane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to go into a little bit of detail, but I want to wait. I want to come back to this as far as like all of the talking heads out there who are like experts in the field of ufology, but they've never had an experience. I want to come back to that because I want to kind of set up the story that I heard of where you first started communicating with ETs, or you started having those experiences when you was a little kid. If you don't mind setting that up, there was a story about you being locked in an attic and these little monkey type entities. I don't know if you want to tell that story, but that'd be awesome.
You're surely welcome for me if you allow me. I mean, you know, it's your show, you're in charge, Derek. Let me tell you that. A magnet will attract a piece of wood. You have to have inherited a very different set of stars to attract certain experiences. Again, you got to be logical when you explain cosmic information. As a child, I was handful. I am ADD, ADD, and even more than ADD. It's very, very hard for me to stay still. I have learned, okay, to keep steady, to be still. I am a tornado of physical and mental power. That's why I write every day. That's why I have books published. That's why I'm running all over the place. This is why my atomic structure is so fast that I don't even look 69. It's a gift of youth, which is also a curse. So when I was a kid, my mom and my stepfather, when I was doing bad things, they stuck me in the attic. And during those days, 1967, 66, 67 years old I was, the house was standing up by miracle. Every other house around in the village fell down from the bombing, from the German bombing. So we had no electricity, we had no water, we had no restroom. It was just a nightmare. And in order for me to to get some warmth because we had no window and the wind was going through that. It was freezing cold. I always had cats with me. Mostly the house I was living in had a lot of rats because the next door butcher was killing pigs and all sorts of animals, and all the blood and the guts was running by the house, attracting rats and cats. And that was my only source of warmth. So that night they came up and my mom says, make sure to blow your candle. We don't want fire in the house or in your bed. I say, no problem, my mattress. Okay, and I went up, but I didn't have a cat, so I was pretty upset. And then anyway, I went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, 4 or 5 in the morning, I don't know, I felt something on my foot and I kicked it. I thought it was a cat. And I thought, I hope it doesn't have a rat, because it was very kind of normal for me to wake up with rats next to me, because they had their dinner in my bed and then they slept with me. But I didn't want to lose the warmth that I had accumulated in my little blanket. I keep kicking, it didn't move. So anyway, I finally, I got to go and get it. So I sat in my bed and that was it. In the bottom of my bed, that's where I saw those three entities. And again, remember, in 1966, no TV, no radio, no UFO researchers. I had no idea what the hell's going on. The only thing is that I used to say to my mom, Mom, you know, small monkey with big eyes. That's the only thing I could remotely represent what a gray was. I had no idea what was a gray, anything. So I just, when I saw that, I freaked out and I go hot pretty fast too. And I hide it away and I waited hoping, you know, to see if these things were gone or not. So I just bit out of the blanket and look, and one of them was like 2 inches from my face. I just passed out. I got so scared, just passed out. The next morning, I woke up and I screamed my head off and trying to get out of that attic so fast. My mom came up and said, what the hell is going on with you? Little monkey, big eyes. I was just freaking out. There was a total panic. Then, of course, you know, my parents thought I was making it up because I wanted to be with my brothers and sisters in the bottom. So you know, I was punished for two or three nights I had to go. 3 or 3 nights they were there. But the good news is each time they let me alone. I mean, they did things with me, but in the morning I was just fine. So I got used to it. And then that lasted until I left my house. I was about 14 or 15 years old. And I've been punished many, many times. So that was my first experience, Derek. It was pretty dramatic because I had no way of getting any form of information to what was going on. And to this day, I believe those guys did not do damage to me because I still have my sanity. I'm very healthy. So this group of gray must have been directed by the Draconis, which are the benevolent extraterrestrial that are supporting the human race. I call them the goblins of this world.
Very interesting. Like you said, I mean, obviously, if you're a kid, you know, you're having those encounters, you're going to be scared, right? You can, these little entities showing up in your room, coming out of the darkness. That's pretty creepy. I don't care what type of entities they are. So you have that, and then you're referring back to them as being grays. And so that's the funny thing is that, like, a lot of times these people who talk about the grays, and again, most of the time it's people who have not had encounters, but they've just watched television or science fiction or whatever the case is, and they'll say the grays are the evil aliens and things like that. And then even you're mentioning the Draconians as well, and that's another name that kind of gets a bad rap to stay away from, and those are the bad guys. How did you find out that these two types of aliens or you know, races of ETs weren't necessarily all bad or all good? Or I mean, that's a good thing to explore too. Are they all benevolent, or all, you know, or there's some that have you know, went rogue just like humans and things like that? I understand that if you've had contact, you know that there's a higher level of vibration that they all must you know what I'm saying, adhere to. And if they go outside of that, then they're usually cast out of the group, right? I mean, that's the story of the Bible and these angels who sinned and all that kind of stuff. But to be vibrating at that level, that higher density, which I would say, I don't know about all of them, but the majority of these type of beings are, they're going to, you know, be bringing some type of positive messages, right?
Well, you need to go back to the source again when you dwell with exploring the universe and talk about extraterrestrial. All the information I get is from Draco, which is from the constellation of Draco or the Draconis, not to be mixed with the Draconian or the Reptilians, which are the Reptilius. Draco is giving me the correct names and the correct constellation. So the law is simple. There is only two forces at work, positive, negative, up and down, black and white, God, double, yin and yang, male, female, and you as a human being are symmetrical. You have two eyes, two arms, two legs, two sides of the brain. Okay, without those two forces, there would be no life. Now, you have the reptilians or the reptilians or whatever name you have heard, read, watched from someone. There is dozens of names that qualified the negative group of extraterrestrials. Okay, these are the reptilians. They travel through black holes. They are stationed on Pluto, which is their main base, so to speak. Okay, and again, to understand why, you have to know the values of the planet Pluto at the mystical level. They are pretty much like Putin trying to annex Ukraine, or the Chinese annexing a little island in the middle of South Pacific. What they want is the...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at chumbacasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at chumbacasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Oh, planet, because it's a strategic, phenomenal position for them that would help them to go even further and poison the rest of the universe. The reptilians are very negative entity, the forces of evil, the falling angels, whatever, you want to even give them wings if you want to, it's your own imagination. Okay, then you have the Draconis or the guardian angel with wings too. What I'm trying to say is the Draconis can only survive with fears, negativity, chaos, and they have a lot of goodies, a lot of tools to affect humans. They are well behind the Draconis. God, thanks for that. The Draconis are the opposite, and there is names for them too. Okay, and I want to go into the detail. We need to be objective when you dwell with the immensity, the infinity of the universe. The Draconis are the ones who stimulate scientists to develop technology that fix your heart, help your eyes, while the reptilians will stimulate scientists to create nukes or poison gas. Okay, you need to understand there is the forces of the dark and the forces of the light. That's the devil and that is God. All is that and that is all. So the less you go into the detail, the more you go into the detail, the less you're going to see the forest. So this is the problem with scientists and all the skeptical and agnostic and atheist out there. They tend to look at mentally, rationally, scientifically into the tree. And doing so, they miss the entire forest. That's why it's very important when you educate people on the extraordinary power and variety of extraterrestrial and their agenda. You got to be objective during the introduction. And that's what I'm doing in your show tonight.
I mean, if you're trying to get to the bottom of the truth, if you're trying to be a truth seeker, you have to do that, right? You can't just take somebody's word and run with it. God forbid that word that you took was someone who's just a great storyteller who have never even really had any encounters, but they have a good marketing plan and a big budget behind them. like many in ufology. I mean, we're talking about ufology, but they've kind of infiltrated every market, right? They're in religion, you know, they're in every religion. So it's not to say that that religion is bad. There's some beautiful people, there's some beautiful prophets and teachers in those religions, but there's people who have exalted themselves to places of power because of their persona, because of that they're well-spoken or they have a machine of money behind them. Same things kind of happen in ufology. So you have to be open-minded. You can't say, oh, aliens, all aliens. So I come from the Christian background, right? And they say that all aliens, everything out there is demons trying to possess you. That can't be anything further from the truth, right?
Exactly. Exactly, my friend. No, no, no. You need to understand that religion is a beautiful thing, okay? However, religion also creates groups like ISIS, which are infected by the reptilians who will kill you for their caliphates. You know that too. As a rule, all religions were created by the draconis and the reptilians. Now, but you need to understand, again, going back in time and history, that during the time of Jesus, Jesus was very much cosmic conscious. He understood our Father in the heaven and how he speaks to his children through the sign. But he takes a certain amount of mental power to be able to assimilate such a complexity involving Jesus' cosmic ministry. It's much easier to read the Ten Commandments. You need to understand, during those days, people were not exactly smart. Okay?
Yeah.
You need to accept the fact of what it is, because religion was a perfect job for anybody who was able to stimulate someone else to think in a positive way. You know, we have evolved, but, you know, some people did not. They're still like 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. It is important also to understand that all religion are coming from the energy of a planet called Neptune. Okay, the Lord of Deception, Illusion, on the negative side, that's the reptilians who use drugs, who will use alcohol to stimulate people so they can infect them and manipulate the gene of young mother, and creating gays and lesbian and Down syndrome and autism and all, an endless amount of problems that we have are created by the reptilians, while the draconis, on the other hand, are doing very, very different things. Without this opposite, again, being objective, you cannot have life. They cannot have a day without a night, a man without a woman, or a God without a devil. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And both are very much an important part in our spiritual and physical development, as a matter of fact. I mean, you're like a battery, you know. Anytime you're negative or you're fearful, you feed the reptilians. It's like unplugging yourself. As soon as you have hopes and you create a nice music, I'm a piano player. I play piano. I was a recording artist for many years. All these beautiful songs and lyrics that came into my mind, God, thanks to draconis, were there to help me. Now, you have different side of music that are created by the reptilians that are getting on your nerves. They are aggressive. They are negative. They attract white races. I mean, it's an army of information out there that also involve music. You know, how can I say that? This energy can be used both ways.
Yeah.
To destroy or to build. As long as you keep it in balance, as long as the draconis are a step ahead of the reptilians, we have nothing to worry about. But when you look at the states of the world today, oh my gosh. And then, you know, being poisoned can be coming through various ways. One of the biggest poisoning is greed. Greed. A lot of people want to have material possession. They want to have a lot of money. And then they'll do absolutely anything. They will lie. They will cheat. As long as they get the money coming into their bank account and keep their statue or their position. And all these people has been represented in history with big empire. One of these days, they always fall down because you cannot escape karma. That's why it's better if you work for the light. If you, and it's very, very hard, believe me, you know, I challenge anyone listening to your show, including yourself, my good friend, to be positive for the next 2 hours. It's going to be practically impossible. in mind, you know, in thought, you will always have fears of insecurity. And again, this is an endless battle that's taking place not only on Earth, but also in the heavens produced by the reptilians.
Yeah. It's a righteous battle, right? We got to have both sides. Like, we have to, as far as like there has to be a bad guy, but I don't think the bad guy is an enemy of God. I think the bad guys, you know what I'm saying, maybe are enemies, right? So God allows these type of angels or spirits, if you will, to go to actually be loosed upon the earth to do something, to chastise the people, right? Obviously, there's this natural chastisement if you're, if someone comes down with, like, there has to be a recompense for the things that you're doing, right? There has to be some type of, correction. And these angels are loosed for the correction. They're loosed for the blessings as well, the spirit of peace, spirits of joy, ecstatic euphoria that these spirits bring to us from God. And it's totally biblical, and it's in all of the holy books. And so it's this beautiful song and dance with spirits everywhere, nature spirits, fairies, elementals, angels, aliens, demons, all of them coexisting under the umbrella of God, right?
Absolutely. Now, let me present you with this little dilemma here. A child that just arrived in this world compared to you or me or other people is evil, but not evil per se, is innocent. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't have any wisdom. So there is a way to classify it, innocence, by being idiot, stupid, negative. But as this child grows, okay, he becomes more positive. However, another child who has a better UCI is going to bypass this child and become more intelligent than this child. And it's going on again, on and on and on. So we could take, for example, the case of Adam Lanza. Adam Lanza, you know, this kid who killed so many innocent children at the school. It is terrible, terrible for this guy to did what he did. But you have to remember, once upon a time, he was an innocent, beautiful, loving, trusting child. The problem is with Lanza becoming what he became is due to the U.S. Department of Education, maybe his religious parents or his atheist parents, who did not give him an opportunity to understand God's cosmic divinity and the way he was made. If you do not have cosmic consciousness, you're going to be a robot of your stars. It doesn't matter how strong they are, doesn't matter about the reptilians, devil, doesn't matter about your stars or the dragon or whatever, the part of God in you is much stronger than these things. However, if you do not understand how he designed the universe and you're the part you play in that universe, you're going to be a robot. And that energy is going to be used, manipulated by the reptilians, which are turning people into killers every day. And that is significantly important and dramatic and critical for all the children to be educated, because it is very important to teach a child geography, history, language, the arts, you know, mathematics. But who is there to teach them who they are? What they have? The codification of thought. Okay, the problem is by reading the Bible now and following the Bible, you know, this generation is different. They have access to Google. There's so much conflict. Oh, wait a minute here. Some people say God is real now, this one doesn't. So these people, those kids are totally, don't have any grounding anymore. They don't know what they are. And then what happened? They smoke, they drink, and the next thing you know, we cannot stop the chain of suicide of teens, because they're degenerating. No one is there to tell them who is God exactly, how they've been made, what is their fate, and how to apply the will so they don't fall for negativity for the devil or the reptilians combined.
Yeah. Yeah, the stakes have always been high, but we're really in this weird space now. I mean, because I think that a lot of teenagers are doing now things that, you know, either can't be undone or going to be hard to actually, you know what I'm saying, right the wrong. Like abandoning genders, that's a huge thing now. Like that's an option to abandon your gender. I know whenever we were kids and we wanted to rebel, we wanted to change our identity, we became a gangster, a thug, we became gothic even, you know, wearing black makeup and black hair styles and fingernails, and we became gothic. Now it seems like what these teens are doing now to rebel against their parents and rebel against God, to actually shake their fist in the face of God, is to say, look, you screwed up. You put me in the wrong body. I'm abandoning my gender. I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body. I'm a girl trapped in a boy's body. Or these other pronouns that they've come up with. That's a really weird place that we're in. Has this happened in history before? Did the Greeks get into this whole weird gender stuff? I know you're talking about homosexuality and all of this kind of stuff being rampant. A lot of, you know, Rome and Greece and these places, they were really open with their homosexuality, and a lot of the philosophers of the day had them a young teenage boy that accompanied them, and that was their lover, and these type of things. And so you see this weird degradation of society before these collapses come. Do you see us, repeating the future, whether it's Egypt, Babylon, mm-hmm. all of these great civilizations that existed and have been, shaken to ruin by, you know, the fingerprint or fist of God, if you will, by these spirits being loosed on the earth?
Well, let me trace back a little bit first to understand what the UCI is all about. Genetically, you're related to your family 150%. Okay, you may even look like your parents or even sound like your parents, but that is the physical genes. Now, the spiritual gene, which are classified.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Does the UCI or the unique celestial identity is very different, which means your mom, your sister, your dad, your brother is your biggest stranger, because he will not think like you, he will not behave like you, he will not create like you, and he will not have the same fate as you, because he has been programmed. Okay. Now, if you understand this program, okay, that will allow you also to realize that in those 10 planets, you're going to have a lot of feminine planets which are going to override the positive planets. Okay, now the reptilians are aware of that, and that's where they abduct young mother who smoke or drink, manipulate the gene in the womb, and create gays and lesbian. Their agenda is to create a nation of gays and lesbian because they don't reproduce. And then we go extinct in that way, and creating all sorts of disease that we can't control. And now we can fight all that again by being cosmic conscious. So understand that knowledge gives you power not to be judgmental. And there are people out there say, well, let's go and beat this gay. Well, you're so strong, you son of a gun, you just beat a girl. That isn't a body of a guy. That, you know, you need those children need to be educated in. Instead, they are into the codification of thought, or it's bad to have sex with the same sex, or this and this and that. It is different, but there is something which is well above humans to understand. And unless you have faith in the Creator, unless you understand the forces of darkness and the forces of the light, and you make a distinction. Effort to reach the light, to educate yourself and upgrade your vibration, become godlike, so to speak, okay? There will be never a possibility for peace on this earth. Religion separates. That's why the reptilians created pretty much all religion. I'm Christian because I was born in France. you're born here, you probably are Christian too. But if you're born in the Middle East or in Asia, it's a very different story. So you're already into a box. You're already set to be different mentally, physically, religiously. And then on top of that, the reptilians make sure also to make sure our language is different to create more chaos, more misunderstanding. Okay. While you understand that you have a set of stars, okay, this awareness, this cosmic awareness, will make you aware that doesn't matter what religion, what color of your skin is, your blood is red, okay, and you have a UCI, and that makes you understand everybody else. So in other words, astrology unified, right, religion played its part by disturbing and creating more chaos than needed. And the fact of the matter is, if you look through history, religious wars have killed more people than all wars combined together. This is a natural disaster.
Yeah.
That tells you how stupid humans are. You know, this is hell. You're not going to go to hell. This is it. God created this way because we are not smart enough to learn by reading. We have to feel. We're here to learn to create. Okay? We, every single day, create our reality. If you let the reptilians invade you because you drank too much or you took pot, you're going to have an accident, kill somebody, fight with somebody, and end up in jail for the rest of your life. Okay? It's very important to understand the forces that are around you. People are oblivious. They're like a robot. They don't have any awareness of this magnificent design created by God, which is given to them. The problem is, again, God has enslaved every one of his children to look for the truth. And he sends some of these best people that are gifted, like he sends someone to create beautiful music to become a leader in his own field or the movie industry or anything else for that matter. So the idea is to keep an open mind, to ask a question, and most of all, to ask for proof. Because anybody can say, well, you know what? I've seen a UFO. Well, no, you know, you need to ask for proof. In my case, Draco has left me with a UFO cosmic predictive legacy. I'm able to make predictions. And when you look at it, again, if you use common sense, and I may offend more people, but the fact is, Pope Francis was put as a pope by a bunch of men, and so is the Dalai Lama. Okay, these are supposed to be high, very respectable spiritual figure, the top representative of God on this earth. However, where is their extra power? Where is the gift that tell them they have been touched by the divine? A lot of people don't ask those questions. They say, amen, and look down. Yeah. They're too afraid of bypassing the norm, so to speak. And then that's why you have people like me that piss off everybody, because I'm here speaking the truth as Draco, channel through Draco, so to speak. But as I said, I put all sorts of green where the mouse is. That's the only difference.
So how would how would someone channel? Is it kind of like we've seen in Hollywood, or we've seen you know, just a lot of these people in the spiritual New Age movement kind of get into a meditative state and then allow the spirit, whether it's to speak through your body or influence you or give you different words and impressions to speak out? Because there's a lot of charlatans in that movement as well who claim to be speaking the words of so and so from another star system or whatever the case is. You know, how would that look for you?
Well, in terms of speaking of prophets, a lot of people have followed Reverend Jones or David Koresh, and you see what happened. He was a prophet of God. Now you have all sorts of cults. You have Scientology, you have the Mormons, you have Witness of Jehovah's. They are prophets of reptilians infected because they produce more and more religion and more chaos and more discord. That's the purpose. As far as channeling is concerned, first of all, you've got to have the gift. The top prophet of history, there is three that I know: Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Madame Blavatsky. Okay, the three of these humans have something in common. That is the head of the dragon in the sign of Pisces. Pisces is ruled and controlled by a planet called Neptune, and Neptune rules the subconscious and the superconscious. Now, to represent Neptune, which control all religion, Okay, you need to understand a little bit more the power of this planet and what it regiment. Neptune regiment to the Middle East. The entire Middle East is controlled by this planet. That's why the three major youngest deadliest religion were born in the Middle East. Christians, Muslims, Jews, they're all born in the Middle East. So the entire Middle East is a Neptunian area. Now, to represent religion, subconsciously, of course, Christianity shows two fishes, right? You have one that swims upstream towards God's feet. That's the soul who look for God's cosmic divinity on a rational level or on a spiritual level, okay? On the rational level, you produce people like Einstein, was a Pisces. Michelangelo was an artist. George Washington, Dr. Cherry, I'm a Pisces. Okay. These are the positive fish. Okay. And then you have the negative fish. The negative fish is the worst representation of the planet illusive deceiving power. Neptune was poisoning. He controlled the Middle East where all the oil is coming from, which poisoned the world, not only physically, but mentally, spiritually, through various religions, okay? The fish going downstream represent humanity following the codification of thought, not asking any question. And it's very hard when you're a Pisces because you have no fate. Your fate is based upon the reincarnation of your thought, the understanding of God's design, and the respect of all the universal law, which include, of course, a full awareness of the cosmic code. That's the real Pisces who's been up there, is in the stars, very much close to God. Now, the other one follow one of the 875 different religions. It's easy for him to get lost. He follows the current. Imagine a salmon, how hard it is for a salmon, Derek, to swim back to his birthplace where he was born, into the stars, in that case, humans. It's very hard because he has the current that will never stop against him. And worst of all, he also has falls. He has to go against the current day and night and no rest, and then he has to take on all the faults in order to go back to his birthplace, which happens to be the stars, or what Jesus' cosmic ministry is all about, and introducing humanity to our Father in the heavens. But again, that was not supposed to be, because reptilius infected, nowadays turn out to be the corporate Vatican, don't want you to know. And I'm sure, as I said earlier, if you have seen it, every single pope was taught astrology by the Vatican Council. And whomever made his story, I'm sure you heard of J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan said, you know, millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. Okay? That dictates also that people that were spiritually advanced, like Reagan, was also using the stars. There's a lot of people out there that are using this wisdom, but it's not accepted by the norm, so it's done behind the door. And you'd be amazed how many people I serve.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, all the queens and kings did. I mean, just look at John Dee and who he was, you know, subservient to. Let me ask you this. So you're talking about the reptilians. Is that the same thing as the archons? Some people would call it that?
It's a name. Archon is a name that qualified the reptilius or the negative force. And, you know, we are all human. It's like trying to differentiate the fish. We all live in the oceans, okay? The big huge pack of everything here. Whatever name you qualify and understand something is based upon what you heard or read. Okay, well, the first time you heard that word you mentioned, what do you call it again?
Archons?
The Archons, yes. All the Draconians or whatever it is. These are words that were created by someone else. Mm-hmm. And then there comes someone else who's going to create something else and something else and something else. And between these soup, now you have to find the truth. And that's what the challenge is all about. Okay? There is a lot of good words to classify the Draconis. First one I always use is the guardian angel. As far as the reptilius, the falling angel. And that stay there. Now you can put as many names as you want around this, but your question is definitely worthwhile asking because it offers the answers that I gave George Norrie too. That's the same question, incidentally.
Oh yeah. Everybody's asking the same questions. I'm trying to be, there's a couple questions popping up here in the chat. We'll get to those shortly. Wanted to ask you, so going back to making contact with these, angelic beings, as some would call them, or extraterrestrial beings or whatever. Is that something that someone who hasn't had an experience with or had an encounter with? Is that something that we can initiate on our own? And should we? Because there's a lot of fear that maybe you'll get possessed. Maybe you're contacting spirits that you don't know what they are. And you got to be careful with opening yourself up to spirit contact. Like, that's a very, you know, you can get possessed. But when it comes to the higher vibrational beings, is that something we should attain to? Or are they supposed to contact you? Because when they want to say hello, they will, right?
Yeah. Well, you need to be aware of some very, very important metaphysical facts here. If you do not know anything about metaphysics or the superconscious, you better stay clear. So as a rule, fear acts as a protector now. It's negative, but it acts as a protector against invasion or abduction. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, there are days, Derek, when you're going to get up, and everything you see and touch is going to be just magic. There are other days where you had wish you stayed in bed.
Yeah.
That's called cosmic biorhythm. There are planets in your chart that are either resonating positively or negatively to your own planet. And there are days, I call it the cosmic biorhythm. There are days where anything you're going to do, you're going to hit the jackpot. You're going to be lucky. You're going to land on the right people.
Synchronicities.
That's another rational way to present it. But there is much more behind synchronicity, because I did the study to know where synchronicity comes from. And there are other days where it's negative. So extraterrestrials do not come here when they feel like, as many people believe that the proof of that, they are not immortal. The proof of that is that ship that crashed in New Mexico on July 1947. Okay? Remember that, Roswell?
Yes.
Okay? Scouts just crashed on the Earth. That tells you that the reptilians, that was a reptilian scouts, that tells you that they are prone to make mistakes too. They stayed a little bit too long in our solar system, which does not exactly agree with antimatter.
I know a lot of times they're actually getting shot out of the sky as well by our government.
Yep. Well, I wouldn't go that far. Let me finish. Let me explain something else. They are using these uranic windows in order to integrate in this dense physical world. Okay, it's like you're going to have a pass to go to a secret area. You're going to have camera watching you, and you have only a certain time to be there, and you're going to get out. Or you're going to jump onto the ocean, and you're going to have a couple of bottles of oxygen, so you're limited by the bottle of oxygen in your back. It's the same with the reptilians. Okay, the draconians don't have to do that, because they are well ahead. They do everything telepathically, mentally, psychically. Or they will do specific abduction when they need to connect with their, the gifted ones. So their people, put it this way, those who have been cursed, so to speak, like me, the chosen one. So what I'm trying to say is, do not believe that extraterrestrials are going to be attracted to somebody because he has a PhD, or because he worked for the government, or because he has a notoriety, he has established notoriety. Uh-uh. They don't care. They're only looking for that specific energy. If you vibrate at a very specific cosmic energy, you're like a beacon to them. Oh, this one has what we need. Okay? Now, these are the good extraterrestrial. In other words, if you're born with a UCI like me, I was born in February, which is loaded with a uranic energy, or the energy they use to enter this dense physical world, you'll be a magnet to the draconis. The reptilians is a different story. They have to integrate. They have to use those channels, those funneling, those uranic window to come here and do their nasty work. Do that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do not believe a second again that there are UFO bays in the middle of the earth, say in a mountain somewhere, and they communicate with the government. If you want to believe it, it's because you heard it somewhere and that's all you heard. Well, I'm here to challenge you out of that and tell you what's really going on. Now, can you assimilate it? Can you accept it? Hey, that's me to know and you to find out. Now, when you have been drinking or eating the same stuff for years, it's very, very hard to get out of your own box. A lot of people believe this junk. They believe the moon is hollow. They believe it's a UFO base. Like, they believe the government is talking with extraterrestrials, giving them technology. Whoa, 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 wait a minute here. Okay.
What would you make of Space Force?
Space Force?
Yeah.
NASA?
Yeah.
NASA is an infected scientific corporation. Because the fact of the matter is, you're never going to go on Mars physically. Never in a million years will a man ever set foot on Mars. Not only because of the gigantic distance, but because it is tough. It's, even on the moon, you cannot stay on the moon. The moon is next door. What is the human progress that we've done since we have done so much technology advancement? We went on the moon, which is next door, and now we have a space station 200 miles above the Earth. Now, that's a long way from Mars, my friend. NASA scientists were infected by the reptilians in the 50s or the 40s to develop those nukes. And the children of those children of those children have a rent to pay, they have insurance to pay, they have college education to pay for their kids, and they don't want to work. All they want to do is to make little robot, and yay, they need to stimulate you. So that's why every single day they discover a new planet or a new black hole. But people don't have common sense. They don't have critical thinking. They make you believe. It's pretty much like religion. They're going to make you believe things, and then you don't have any other information. You don't have any other grounding. That what you heard, and you follow what fits your fears or your hopes. It's just a human choice, and it's very very hard sometimes for me to come up with such. Direct, honest values. I'm not making this up. This is coming directly from Draco. Again, it's me to know and you to find out. Now, I just see a UFO, 180, walking Earth or with the government. Oh, no. When it fell in Roswell, New Mexico, when that spaceship fell and the Greys, which are dignified robots, there's nothing else. There's nothing there. They're just robots, dignified. Okay? They took it down to their laboratory. They just investigated every single thing and then tried to see anything else with the spaceship. But that technology is so damn advanced. They are so far behind in remotely understanding the propulsion that is used by the extraterrestrials. And it's, you know, there is so much more behind all this, divulging all this. There's so much more. But, you know, I can only divulge so much because you may not be able to relate to me or think I'm cuckoo or making it up. So I have to be very cautious as I approach you into digging into a new form of understanding and acceptance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some I think a lot of stuff. I think everybody has a piece of the puzzle, right? There's some beautiful work out there. I'm definitely intrigued about the mountains, though. The mountains and the underwater UFOs and things like that people are seeing and catching a lot of stuff on film. And James Gilliland at the East City Ranch has done a lot of work up there, and they're seeing ships go into the mountains and beings coming out of them. There's something significant about those mountains, though, right?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I can only tell you what I know. I had never seen a ship going into a mountain or a flying saucer going into the ocean, but I can tell you that I had a flying saucer above my head. I've been inside a flying saucer. I'm digging. I've seen three UFO face-to-face and talk to them, ATs, black men. I can only go from what I know. I cannot make it up.
Did you say black men?
Men in black.
Oh, men in black. Okay.
Extraterrestrials face to face. This is an incredible experience that I would wish on nobody, but it did happen to me. That actually is my second experience. I was coming back from England. I was at the Royal School of Music during those days out there. Might have been, I don't know, 20, 21, maybe 22. I'm not sure how old I was, pretty young. And then I came back home, and it was a Sunday, I remember that. And I was happy to see everybody. And then I said to my mom, where is Noelle? Noelle is my little sister. Oh, she said, oh, she went to work. During those days, she was working as a training nurse in the mountain in the south of France. I was upset. And about half an hour later, there she was. She came back and she was upset. And she said, oh, I missed the bus, this and that. I'm going to lose my job. My mom said, hey, don't worry. Louis is going to take you there. And remember, during those days, no cell phone, no GPS. So the only way you're going to go from A to Z is by asking direction. That's all I knew. So let's cut the story short. It's now 4 o'clock in the morning. My sister is deep asleep. I'm exhausted. I'm praying God to have somewhere where I can ask direction and have a cup of coffee because I was getting high in the mountains, snow everywhere. I was lost. And then I finally arrived in one place. And to these days, I'm still wondering, Derek, how is it possible that little restaurant was open? You have to remember, this is not like, this is France. It's not like America with McDonald's, 24 hours operation. So they are able to set up entire scenery to make you believe it's real when you're someone else. It's amazing what they did there. So we arrived. I woke my sister up. And I said, okay, we need a cup of coffee. So I parked just by the door. It was nobody. Parked by the door and I went inside. As soon as I walked inside, I saw three huge guys by the bar. I'm pretty protective of my little sister. So I say, you sit by the door here and I'm going to go and get your drink. She said she wanted a Coca-Cola. I was kind of surprised. I'll never forget because it was in the middle of the winter and it was cold, ice everywhere. So we went to the bar. And I asked the barman for a Coca-Cola and a cup of coffee. He gave me the Coke, brought it to my sister, went back. And it was this big, huge guy. Oh, my gosh. I thought they were loggers because they were so tall and so big. Fuck, my nose was his belt. I was looking like this. And then he turned around, and he had cards in his hand. He says, hey, you want to play cards? I said, no, I'm tired. You know what? Just asking for direction, cup of coffee. Thank you. No. And then look at him. It was big. And he said, come on, play card. And I thought, I might as well not piss him off. He's too big for me. So anyway, start to pull a card. And as soon as my eyes saw the card, tell me what it is. He did this like two or three times. And I said, my gosh, this guy is in my head. I was just joking. Then I thought, okay, I'm going to change and I will never, ever forget for as long as I live. I am going to change the nine of diamonds for the queen of spades. And he looked at me. And he says, Louis, you're not going to change the nine of diamonds for the queen of spades. And I never stole my name. And at that very precise moment, Derek, I felt like if a screwdriver was coming from here, coming out there, I was holding to the bar. I said, the hell's going on here? Trying to keep my balance. And I asked the barman, where's the restroom, please? Where's the restroom? I was going to pass out. He says, I was right there. Not even 10 feet. The door was open. I managed to go there. I opened the cold, freezing water, put this on my face. Felt like I was attached with a chain to this guy. And I said, what the hell are you doing to me? I was so upset. You have no idea. I felt so entrenched for so. Oh, I was so upset. I said, I don't care how big you are. I don't care where the hell you're coming from. You're going to tell me what the hell you're doing to me. That's exactly how I thought. And believe me, it didn't take long to put some fresh air. Didn't even close the door. From fresh water on my face. Maybe not even a minute. I was so upset. And I went out. Oh, my gosh. When I went out, thank God. Master Bum, where are they? Just left. So I went outside, locked both sides. Nobody went back in. I said, how are those guys? I don't know. He says, he must have parked here. And nobody there. And then I said to my sister, okay, all right. I wake her up. She was still asleep. And to this day, she remembers only that restaurant, like me. And then I woke her up. I said, let's get the hell out of here. And the next thing I remember, it's 9 o'clock the next day. I'm driving home. I'm going back to my village. I don't know how. Where have I been all night? I asked my sister, do you recall me dropping you? She says, no, I don't remember anything. All I remember. Sorry about that. One of my clients. So what was worse is the headache that I had for like two or three weeks following that experience. And literally, it's just incredible, the pain that I had. And then I remember I said, thinking to myself, my gosh, what happened to me? First, this little monkeys. Now this, what's going on? I thought it was going to be over. I didn't know I was due for three more times. And then I left it behind and I came back to work in England. But it was different. Something was in my head. I don't know what it is. It was weird.
That's insane, man. That's a crazy encounter, crazy experience. I'm reading some of the comments here, and so a lot of this stuff they put in movies, right? These scripts, or they take the truth to make you seem like a madman. Oh, you got that from a movie, right? Star Trek, Star Wars. I mean, heck, we're talking about balancing, you know, the good and the evil and making sure one doesn't win. I mean, that scenario goes through all creation, all life. You stated that. But what is it with Hollywood putting this stuff in the movies so that when we do have an encounter, you know, there's one side of it that would make you be afraid of it. If you see a craft coming down, you'll try to run because you have seen all of the horror movies and you're going to be abducted and never taken back. So these entities are trying to make contact with you and you run, you freak out and run and get scared and stuff like that. Where does Hollywood fit into all this?
Hollywood is part of the, excuse me, the creative principle. You remember what I said earlier, we create our reality. We are, as we're moving into the age of Aquarius, everything is accelerating really, really fast. What Abel used to say, the quickening. We are creating our reality. We are creating the option for the extraterrestrials. We vibrate on a higher level to be able to enter this dense physical world without using any unique windows. And that's where it's become dangerous, because we are that cross. We are that crossing now. We have to be very careful who we're inviting here. Okay? So Hollywood, anything and everything that comes out of Hollywood will become reality. Be sure of that, because we are creators. Okay? But as far as a flying saucer, my gosh, I tell you what. I remember that's the first time I actually made a note of the date. It was November 11, 1981. Okay? Next time it happened to me was August 11, 1991. Okay, so let me go back now. I am again one of my trip back from France. I'm living in my brother's farm. I stay with him, but he has horses, a kind of mafioso guys, hotels, restaurants, ski station, big guy, rational, practical, mafioso Scorpio guy. All right, that's, you know, half French and half Sicilian. So that's the way he delegates his life. It's his fate, it's his stars, understand it. So when I go there, his farm is just a little, like five miles away from the village, so to speak. It's in the middle of nowhere. And we live upside down. When you run a discotheque, we take off every night at 10 o'clock. That's what we do. We drive about an hour, going through the vineyard, to the main road, then to the highway. It would take us to the big city next door where his discotheque is located. So we usually arrive at the discotheque at 11 o'clock. Every single night we used to do that. And my brother, during those days, was driving a brand new Mercedes. That night, November 11, 1981. I'll never forget that date. I was looking on the right side in the dark, and I saw some light. But they were moving and they were lighting in different direction. I thought it was a helicopter. Then I asked my brother, is there anybody working the vineyard? Because we were driving through the vineyard. And he goes, oh, no, not we. It's November, okay? It's not September. Grapes are picked up in September. In other words, shut up, you know? And it kept driving. And then that light was still moving, and then comes the junction. And all of a sudden, his brand new Mercedes died completely in the middle of the road. And those things are very reliable. I drive them in events, and it's a very reliable car. They don't die just like that. Anyway, we were both looking through the windshield. The only thing we could see is a lot of light, nothing else. And then I said to my brother, I'm going to go out and I'm going to check it. And he grabbed me and says, are you crazy? Stay in the car. See the big guy, the big scary guy. So I managed to get away from his grab and I went outside. And I look up, still couldn't see anything. It was too bright. And all of a sudden, all the light switched off. Only a reddish, goldish light came on all the way on top of me and the car. I still couldn't see nothing. Then it took a while for my eyes to adjust. And then here it was, 30 feet above the stolen Mercedes, a huge flying saucer suspended motionless. It was making a humming noise. And when they say you go under these things and you fry, that's not true, because I was under this thing for a long time. And I was just banging the hood, excuse me, of his car. screaming every bad French word I knew. Come on, get out. Oh, my gosh, a freaking UFO. Oh, my God, come on. My brother didn't come out, stayed in the car like this, and he saw it. And then after a while, a light switch on again. So the proof that there was intelligence, obviously, out there. But most importantly, there was power lines just right there. You dare anybody to fly a helicopter and all these things. And as soon as he turned the light, that thing started to take off. And that flying saucer must have been less than 5 feet above the cheminée of the farm across the road. And it took off. And I was not the only one who saw that, because the next day it was all over the newspaper in the south of France.
Wow.
Now, what's interesting is my brother, as soon as I walk in the car, he says, this didn't happen. People are going to think we are crazy. You know, he's a big guy. He knows a lot of people. This didn't happen. Okay. And then we went to the discotheque. When we arrived at the discotheque, usually we were expecting, you know, a couple of groupies and the waitress and the waiters and Bob and everything taking ready to open, because we opened at 11 o'clock at night. The discotheque was in full motion. It was packed. I never seen my brother smoking before that, or drinking before and after that night. He was on the other side of the bar with a ball of scotch and a cigar. I was on the other side doing exactly the same. We were looking at each other. What the hell? What happened? What happened? Where did we go? What happened? The next day, my mom called me. She goes, hey, what happened to you last night? He had a very close relationship to my mother. And I said, yeah, mom, it happened. It happened. He made me swear not to say anything, but he already talked to my mom. 30 years later, at a Christmas dinner, in front of the entire family, he says, you know what? We own the truth to our children. So, you know what Louis was saying about his flying saucers many years ago? Well, it's true. Son of a gun. 30 years later.
Wow. So you guys had missing time.
Big time.
Let me ask you this, just to see if this ties in, and this is kind of just what my own personal study as well. Where does flashes of lightning come into this? Have you ever had like a flash of lightning and then you're in a field or there's lost time that happens?
Well, again, you know, lightning are produced by sudden release of energy planet called Uranus, which also creates earthquakes. This planet also controls Japan. That's why Japan has so much earthquakes. But, you know, there is many ways for either the reptilians or the draconis to get to you. If you have a tail of the dragon in the sign of Aquarius, you're going to be prone to die through electrocuted or through lightning. If you don't, that person who has next to you will be electrocuted, not you. But, you know, this is natural physical, explainable happening if you have the background, if you have the understanding of what energy is all about. Okay. However, there are instances where those lightning are created either to blind you so you don't see what's going on, okay, or they are specifically designed to shock you, to prepare you for God knows what is ahead of you. You know, the reptilians and the draconis have incredible powers. And again, as I said earlier, luckily for us, the draconis are much more advanced. They don't have to come on this dense physical world. They do it everything psychically. So I wouldn't be surprised if most of this lightning are produced by the draconis, not the reptilians, maybe to protect you. Maybe they are firing at one of the reptilian ship and trying to destroy them. You know, there is... Draco is telling me all sorts of interesting things as I'm talking to you. I'm showing him too. So he's telling me it could be something that's happening up there. And then that's the legacy. The lightning is just a light which was supposed to be directed at someone else or something else, not you.
Yeah. Make sense to me? Yeah. What about any info on clouds, like heavy fog, dense fog, and cloud coverage to block UFOs traveling in that area? Have you heard about that at all?
I can very much relate to this one, because on August 11, 1991, I was driving through one of these clouds, and I blamed the marine layer. I was in California. I blamed the marine layer. Next thing I know, I was inside a flying saucer. Let me tell you how it works, what happened on that day. Am I allowed to do that?
Yes.
You allow me?
Yeah, we got time. Yes.
During those days, I was married to Bridget. She's now divorced me because everything that took place. She was gorgeous. She was a model. And on that Sunday, she decided, I think it was a Sunday, I'm not sure. We cannot, must have been, I know it was August 11, 1991. So I have to trace the date. She had a meeting for a beauty pageant in Anaheim, California. Okay. And I told her, well, if you want to do that, you better have your beauty sleep. So we went to bed early that night. And again, in the middle of the night, in 10 years of marriage, I've never seen my wife like this. She was in a fetus position on the floor. She was crying. She was upset. She was trembling. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to call 911. What's wrong with her? She was crying. She said, you need to look under the bed. You need to look in the cupboard. You need to look in the basement. She made me look everywhere in the house and say, what's wrong with you? She said, I don't know. I don't know. Something's wrong. So women are much more intuitive than men, so to speak. So she felt at the subconscious level of what was going to happen to her the next day. And believe me, it was big what happened to her the next day, especially to her. So next morning I said, well, you look like hell. So we're not going to go there. She said, no. Let's go. Let's go. Grandma lives in the area, so we can go there. So she didn't want to stay in the house. That's why she wanted to go, basically. She didn't want to stay in the house. In fact, she never came back in this house. So we actually took off from north of San Diego. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, precisely, because I knew something was not right. So I stopped to look at my watch and the date on that day. Can't forget days like that. Fill up my tank. 8 o'clock, I was on Highway 5 north going to L.A. Actually, I was going to Anaheim, which is next door from where we were. So as we drove, I kind of entered the conversation with my wife and I said, hey, what happened to you last night? She said, I don't want to talk about it. Okay, turn the radio on and then keep driving. And then that's where I enter this cloud that you just mentioned. And I blame again the marine layer. Oh, must be the marine layer. Next thing I know, I don't feel the wheels on the road anymore. What the hell's going on? And then all of a sudden, I feel everything, but at this time, I am at 30 miles per hour in the middle of the highway on those bumps. What the heck was going on here? I look around me, I couldn't recognize nothing at all. And I said to my wife, Jesus, where are we? She said, pick up your speed. Come on, I don't want to be late. I haven't seen the sign of an IM or Disneyland yet. I said, okay. And I kept driving. And I said, look, I don't know where the hell I am because I've been there many times. I don't know where I am. So I took the first exit, okay? The last thing I remember was Jamboree Street. I took the first exit, and I drove into a parking lot, and there was three Mexican guys there. They were having sandwiches in the back of a Toyota truck. It was white. And I went there, and I said, excuse me, could you tell me where I am, please? But those guys looking at me like, something was wrong with me because I didn't have any understanding of what was going on. I was still, I don't know, on Nirvana time. And then they look at each other and they said, it's 9 o'clock. I said, excuse me? 9 o'clock? Okay. Huh. Time that goes really fast. And I said, where are we? He said, where are you? Again, they look at each other smiling. And they say, you are the Los Angeles Zoo. You're after Los Angeles. Okay. I said, all right. So in my mind, I said, about 90 miles. I'm 90 miles west of where I'm supposed to be. So I went back into the car and I said to my wife, honey, I got her hand. I said, do you remember when I married you? I told you that maybe you had to go through those UFO experiences. She looked at me, she said, hey, come on, what's wrong with you? You bull. Because my wife, she's a Taurus. She was a Taurus. I divorced her. She divorced me. Very rational, very practical. She said, next time we go through LA and I don't see it, let me know, okay? When I told her we were after LA, she didn't believe it. It took over 2 hours just to go back to where we were. We were so disturbed that I rented a room and my wife called a friend and she says, I'm not going home. And she drove with her friend all the way to Phoenix, Arizona from San Diego, from where we were to the hotel. So what happened is, we were sucked into a flying saucer. Okay. The three guys that I saw years earlier, okay, it was my my sister. They were there. They came, they opened the door of the car, and they say, "Hey, Louis." And I look at my wife and I say, "It's okay, no problem, everything is fine." It's like I had an agreement that you know, that was to happen. And I said, "Been there, man, don't worry, everything is cool." And then I went inside a little room. And then in that little room, I saw the earth. She was the size of a football. I saw the earth that size. I must have been pretty high, pretty far. And then I started to really, really feel hot, hot, hot. And I started to sweat like water. Then I know, and now it's kind of a decontamination room or something they did before I went inside the belly. Then I went into the operational room. That's where I saw all the grays. They were, you know, messing around with all the electronics. Then I knew exactly where to go. I went to a big screen and I saw all the grays working on my wife. She was laying down on a kind of a glass table and they were doing some work on her. What they were doing is taking the features out of her. And then the proof of that is afterwards, she was pointing out, she said, "What is this? What is this?" Just above the airline, she had like 2.5-3 inches cut right here. Yeah. Wasn't there before. So that's the proof. So when they were doing this, I didn't know exactly what they were doing. I knew I had to go to another room. So I went to another room and I sat in kind of a chair and something came from the ceiling all the way down to my head, all the way up here. And then boom, I felt like electricity, concrete, glass, cement, I don't know. I had kind of a downloading taking place. And then I was at 35 miles per hour on those came back. Then we were, my wife took off, so I find out somebody could help me. And this guy was a UFO researcher. He says, "Look, I have two top hypnotherapists in Victorville in California. They want to see you." We went there, they had two TV camera. One froze the first frame and the last frame was also framed. I didn't move anything at all. The only thing you see is me pouring water when I said I was inside of the decontamination room. And I was able to explain what happened to me under hypnotic. I am a clinical hypnotherapist myself, so I know the process of reaching the subconscious and dragging these things back. But it was pretty clear because it was so fresh. They didn't want me to wait. And they said, "You have to use sodium panasol, the anti-light thing here." Gosh, long story. Yeah. So what I'm trying to tell you in reference to this cloud, there is definitely, it could be because I was so close to the ocean, it could be a natural phenomenon, or it could be something that was obviously designed by the extraterrestrial to suck me in, which I believe it was.
Yeah.
So that answered your question, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of pictures, there's a lot of videos of, and even, you know, in ufology, something we call cloud ships, that there are ships that are cloaked as clouds, or there's little ships that hide inside of clouds so that they can't be seen. Even in the Bible, you see the presence of God.
Right.
Guiding the children of Israel through the desert as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, a lot of times these UFOs look like clouds during the day, and at night they look like, you know, flames of fire, these big amber burning orbs, or these plasma ships that are glowing, and at the same time, they could be these type of entities, even these angelic entities that fly through the sky, and they don't have occupants at all. You're actually seeing entities hovering around as well. So when we're dealing with the cloud ships and clouds, it gets very interesting as well.
Well, you know what, again, the options are limited here. I can only talk from my own experience, what I know to be real, to be the fact. Anything else, I'm like you. I keep an open mind. I'm trying to bring, you know, you got to keep an open mind, at the same time, critical enough not to be led by a bunch of talking heads into the wrong direction.
What do we do with them? Do we start calling names? What do we do? Because there's a bunch of them, you know.
No, you need to understand that they have established their names. They have a very large following audience. But you know what? There's one specifically that I mentioned on Coast to Coast. His name is David Icke. You heard of David Icke? Yes.
Yeah.
David Icke and I, we used to be very close friends. Every year I used to sign all my books on moon power. And he knew everything about my UFO experiences. And he used all that to reinvent himself. This is a fact. when I came to the United States, I only had $50 in my pocket. I didn't have a limousine. I didn't have a big, huge house. I didn't have a contract of $350,000 to start my career. The only thing that Truth Seeker did for me is to publish a book, and I didn't have the right. What I'm trying to tell you is when I was on the Age of Truth TV, I think it was on Age of Truth TV or one of my radio shows, so many of them that I did and more to go, I actually gave the date and I said to the host, I said, be ready for the beginning or ending of important phases of life. He said, what do you mean? I said, on that day, all I can tell you is give you a keyword, the beginning or ending of important phases of life. Something's going to end, something's going to stop. It's big. Big, it could mean death. Next thing you know, on the day, a week later, my mom passed on. So that was terrible. And then the same day, David Icke was refused a visa to go to Australia, which means, again, thousands upon thousands of people that he has infected with negativity and cosmic junk and conspiracy material. Those people have also suffered my predictions because it's the end for them until David managed legally to go back there, if he can, I don't know. But my prediction came to pass directly touching him and directly touching me. And that's why when I give prediction, I say to people, you have to be able to analyze, because the stars don't work only for me, but for everybody. We're all those fishes in the same ocean. And then you have to know that you're going to be touched. And that's why it's important to auto-analyze when I give you an SOS to the world deadly window or a specific prediction. And I time it. I give you a specific date for earthquakes or anything like that. It always happened. And George Norrie, I said, be ready for an earthquake on that day. George, we had 5. And I said, earthquake above 6.0. And all of them were above 6.0.
Very interesting. Dr. Lewis Turi, thank you for coming on the podcast. I really enjoyed this discussion. We'll have to do it again sometime. Let everybody know where they can check out your work, because you stay busy. You put out a lot of articles. There's a bunch that we didn't even get into. You got a lot of really cool stuff on your website. Let everybody know where they can go to check out your work.
Well, basically, just go to www.drturi, and it's a huge website. You can see how Draco into my life. You can read all my blog. You can watch my TV show, my radio show, whatever it is. And I want to thank you one more time for having me, Derek. It was a pleasure working with you. I really liked your questions. They are a mixture of logic, intuition, and spirituality, which is pretty good for any radio host. So you got what it takes to do a good job.
Thank you so much, my friend. We'll have to do it again. I really enjoyed this conversation.
All right, my friend.
All right, Dr. Turi, thank you so much.
Good night, my friend.
Right,
thank
good
you.
Good night, good night. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Lewis Turi. Really, really interesting guy, man. A lot of really cool stories there. I love them. I love hearing those stories. They're crazy. Make you think. And just taking the pieces to the puzzle, putting it together. I love him, man. You know, and he has something that you can learn from, something you can glean from. Got a few more minutes left here. I'll stay live. If anybody has any questions that they want to throw my way, I'll try to take some questions here in the last few minutes. I want to say a huge thank you to Sandra B4Ya. Thank you for the donation that you gave during the podcast. That's so awesome. Thank you so much that you believe in the work. The clouds are interesting, you know, clouds by the cloud by day, the fire by night that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. You know, you see a lot of these ships that look like clouds. I mean, Google it. You haven't heard of it? Cloud ships, light ships, plasma ships. I don't know what I believe about, you know, I do know what I believe and say that just about, you know, he didn't really, you know, give a lot of info on the government fighting against these crafts or fighting against these entities. There's tons of videos, man. Not tons. There's a lot of videos of plasma rays being shot up, shot towards some types of craft or beings, if you will. And this is from outer space, and it gets shot up from the Earth. And it tries to hit a craft, and it turns around and leaves. And then there's other footage of these crashing UFOs, these discs that are falling out of the heavens, being shot down by the government. So when you know when there's a lack of sightings, I believe that they can't appear for too long, or they're going to get shot out of the air. And I've been talking about this, like, what's the karma on that? If you summon a UFO, if you get one to show up for you and you end up being the cause of it getting shot out of the air, like, wouldn't that be bad karma? You know, Kenny says, True Seeker, when are you going to address the flat earth? Man, Like I said, dude, I'm not a real big flat earth proponent. I will tell you that there is someone in the chat now, the Hori Sheet Show. That's his specialization. He loves going in on that. You may be a better guest on his show, bro, to go in on the flat earth, because I don't want to marginalize my fan base, bro. Like I said on the interview with Santos Bonacci, I think I had one of the best on when it comes to flat earth. So I think I did my flat earth work. I reference it sometimes. There's some very interesting stuff that correlates. Obviously, that's why it's a thing, right? People who are asking the bigger questions, but it's also, you know, scoffed at by a lot of people who won't even give it the time of day. That's not my calling. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, maybe we'll talk about it. Who knows? I don't. So let me go through the comments here, see if anybody's. Let's see. Chubbs, he just joined the Flat Earth Society. I'm watching on Twitch. Shout out to my Twitch viewers. What's up? I don't know how many people's watching me on Twitch right now. But yeah, shout out to Chubbs watching on Twitch. So here's something that Triple M says, and I believe this. That's why I asked him, Triple. Triple M says, bro, what if the chemtrails is to hide the invasion? Woo. I don't think it's an invasion, but I do think that the chemtrails, there'll be a beautiful day, man. No clouds in the sky whatsoever. You'll see two or three jets go back and forth, leave four or five lines. Within 30 minutes, the whole sky is covered with a film of cloud that's a fake vapor, chemtrail, contrail, whatever you want to call it. But it's a thing. Like, look it up. It's called cloud seeding. They go and fly into clouds and I don't know what they sprinkle in it, but look it up. Cloud seeding to make it rain. They put stuff in the clouds to make it rain. It's crazy. I believe it. But then you find what's in that stuff, and we get into a lot of conspiracy theories with this, but there's barium, there's heavy metals, there's, you know, they use it for GPS tracking with satellites and almost like putting like this film of heavy metals on the ground for tracking. You can go up to your water department and actually get a report on what's in the water, and there's barium in the water, which comes from these chemtrails or comes out of jet fuel as well. It's really crazy stuff. A lot of conspiracy stuff. I started there. I don't want to end there. But yeah, there's a lot of truth to some of these conspiracy theories, man. So let me just read through here. Read through these questions. Y'all let me know if you have any questions before I get off of here. Again, we're talking about these UFOs being shot down and things. Space Force. I mean, why? Like, that's a thing. It's not a theory. I know it sounds silly. It looks silly. But that is now a branch of the government that Trump created. Space Force. Like, you ever seen Star Wars? Yeah, that's why they put it in the movies. Because it's real. They just give you a little bit at a time. Like, our technology is, they'd say, 50 years, probably way more, but 50 years behind what we see in the movies. Top of Top says Organite stops the trails. I've heard of that. Organite's a very powerful stone or crystal. Garner says cloud seeding was used in Vietnam. They've been seeding clouds since the Korean War. Yeah. Yep. Very interesting stuff. Cloud seeding. They've done all kind of stuff. They put, like, the government's done experiments. Like, they put LSD in the water system, in the water supply, to see what how the people react. And they've put all kind of, like, chemicals in the chemtrails, and they've sprayed it over cities and all kinds of crazy stuff just to see, to do experiments on the people. That is insane. These people are demonic. You talking about who today? You talking about demons are in outer space abducting people? No. Demons are down here dealing with mankind. So, Christian says, what about the satellites in space being laser cannons? That's a lot of thing. I think me and last time Kenny was over here, we talked about that. You know, there's all those pictures of these explosions, and they're just pinpointed. And so a lot of people believe that these satellites with lasers and these cannons can are being used to start forest fires and things like that as well. So Kenny says, amen. The demons are among us. Yes, they are. So again, thank you guys for hanging out with me. I did a really good interview with brother Brian on his page. I just linked it in my it's on my Facebook page. So if you guys want to check that out, that was a good interview. So I got to talk a lot about my faith in Christ and stuff like that on there. So it was a really good, interesting episode. Shout out to everybody holding us down in the chat. Shout out to John McMahon. Shout out to you, brother. Going in on my Manly P. Hall quote. I've done my research on Manly P. Hall. I've actually dedicated a lot of my life work to what he's done. He's been a huge influence on my life in his pursuit of the truth and indulging the truth and spreading it out even at the cost of his own life. So Manly P. Hall was a great teacher, and I really appreciate the work that he brought to the table. I went in, I did a Christian podcast just a couple weeks ago, and they shared my bio. My bio has reference to Manly P. Hall, and everybody was like, "Oh, he's a Mason," you know. And so they wanted me to come back for a rebuttal almost and say, "Hey, why are you dropping Manly P. Hall's name?" And so I kind of went into some detail on why I appreciate the work of Manly P. Hall and what he's brought to the table, and showed you some things in Freemasonry that I think we all could learn from. Some of the ways that they conduct themselves in business, with each other's wives and spouses, and having respect for people. There's a lot of Freemasons that are presidents and our leaders and our pastors and our teachers, and you wouldn't even know it. It's a man of God, but the moment you find out they're a Mason, they lose all credibility with you. Do your homework, man. Do your homework. So shout out to everybody hanging out with us in chat. I really enjoyed this. Let's see what else we got here in the chat. Christian also says, demons are called viruses, aliens, parasites, etc. Is that true? Yeah, man. Some people believe it, unless that's the symptoms of those demons. I mean, it just depends. If you get down on the microscopic level, there's these dragons fighting each other on your skin, in your immune system. We've talked about this. It gets violent. This type of spiritual warfare that's going on the microscopic level. Parasites. The ancients believed that they were demons. I believe that Jesus believed that they were demons. They were spirits of infirmity. And when you got those parasites, when you cut open a pig in the Old Testament and you didn't wash your hands, you were ceremonial unclean. So they, you know what I'm saying? There's a whole bunch of stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? So it gets pretty deep, but it's intricate. And I think studying, we've talked about this a lot on here actually, but studying microscopic organisms and how they fight and do battle and do war in the unseen realms, actually they can be seen if you have a microscope. which a microscope would be a trained eye to see this battle, to see this spiritual war. It very much so likens to spiritual warfare in the heavenly realms around us and on us, and these entities who are feeding off of our auric field and all of these beings and stuff. A lot of it goes back to what Dr. Turi was talking about, right? These entities that are doing warfare in the spiritual realms and in the heavenlies. Scriptures say that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. These different parasites, spiritually, you know, and they influence people, and they need host to live. If they're not feeding off of your energy, they don't exist. Why do you think we go into the scriptures and it talks about to get rid of some of these demons, you have to fast to get rid of them. You have to cut them off from their food supply in the gut, whatever you're doing. If you're still you're giving these demons legal ground to be there. In the spirit, if you're entertaining the same conversations, the same types of toxic people who are infested with these types of entities, and you need to cut yourself off from these people. You need to cut yourself off from the conversation, cut yourself off from the pornography, the alcohol, whatever it is that's killing you. You have to, there's times of fasting that's for a reason. I mean, we're coming upon the time of the Feast of Passover, right? And it's so beautiful, too, to observe Passover. I'm putting this out there now. I want to observe Passover with the community here on the podcast and everybody who's a part of our Discord and Patreon community. I'm going to send out an email. But it's really beautiful because it's like a week long of searching your life because the children of Israel were commanded to get all of the leaven out of their homes. Get all the leaven out, right? So they would search their homes and get all of the leaven out. And so it's observed today, and they still do that, like traditionally. Okay, going through all the products on the counter, like all the products in the food pantry, and some toothpaste has leaven in it. Like getting all the leaven out physically as you're keeping that. That feast, but spiritually, because the scripture refers to leaven as sin. And just so, just like you would search your own home to get all the leaven out, searching your life, searching your heart to get all of the leaven out, to get all of the things out that's killing you. The scripture refers to leaven as sin, and it says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If you put just a little bit of it in the bread, the whole thing is going to explode, and it's going to turn into a big loaf of bread, right? When you're making bread, so putting it into that lump and mixing in, so getting all the sin out. So it's a time of fasting, and so as a community and as a people, I want to do that together. So if you guys are interested, let me know whether it's on Patreon or whether it's on our Discord community, or even just in the comment sections of these videos, if you want to be a part of that. And I'll try to send you guys some information to get some wine or some grape juice and some wafers or whatever, and we'll celebrate Passover together, observe it for the week, and take communion at the end of the week. I think that'd be beautiful. So if you guys want to do that, let me know. That's what it's about. So John, your comment, bro, I'm not saying you're against Masons, bro. I just have definitely done my study on Manly P. Hall, and I'm okay with him as far as what his knowledge, and at least what I quote, right? I can't say I'm just a vouch for every, I don't vouch for the secret lives of Freemasons. I do not. I'm sorry. I don't vouch for the secret life of any other man on this planet except Christ. What he did, I'm trying to emulate that, right? So, here's the whole thing of like, we can't share what, you know, Manly P. Hall said, and I went back and forth with you on the comment just for a second, because you said, you know, Manly P. Hall, you said he was Satan. You said a lot of bad things about Manly P. Hall that I don't think are true. But you said we shouldn't quote him because he was like worse than Hitler. You even said that. That's crazy. Manly P. Hall's worse than Hitler. Come on, man. And then I commented back and I said, yeah, there's a lot of people who say, like, warn people who, when they share a post, if someone shares my stuff. So I have a lot of my Christian friends, if there's an episode that they enjoyed, or a quote that I said, or one of my lyrics, or even a picture of my family, right? Me and my family, you know, whatever. If they share that, they'll have people in their comment section, and they'll actually get inboxed and say, hey, I see you shared something for True Seeker. Yeah, he's a devil worshipper. He's this. He's a Mason. He's a Satanist. He, all kind of stuff these people come up with. So I'm just saying, like, people inbox those when they see them share my work, right? I have to put up with that. I come from a religious background. It comes with the territory. And as far as like sharing a quote by Manly P. Hall or a quote from, I know you wouldn't do that, John, but a quote from Jordan Maxwell or any of these occultists or whatever, like, it doesn't mean I vouch for their whole life. You know what I'm saying? That's like me sharing a quote from, and I talked about this on that other episode, but that's like a, me sharing a quote from John MacArthur, right? John MacArthur got some good stuff, man. He really does. But John MacArthur has some leaven, some things that are anti-Bible in his stuff. And I think we all do. At the end of the day, I think we all do, right? So let us agree with the things that we can agree on. And I know we got factions and sects and, you know, followings and churches and schisms and all that kind of stuff. So we can't. I get it. We've pulled ourselves out of the mix. We exist at the bottom of the list. We don't care. We'll let y'all have that. So we just coexist with everyone. We believe Christ is supreme. We believe Christ is beautiful, that all beings bow down. All these beings, even like today in this episode, we're talking about the Arcturians. We're talking about the Reptilians, the Draconians, all these aliens, the gray. Man, they all must bow to King Jesus, man, at the end of the day. But I'm willing to have that conversation. And I'm not going to, like, if that's the case, we can't, we can't quote anybody. Like some of the racist stuff, we can't even sing the national anthem because it's got race ties to racism and inequality. We can't quote the Bible because it's talking about slavery, how to beat your slave, how to treat your slave. If y'all don't get out of my face with this stuff, man, y'all gonna, I'm telling you, man, you got to move past the isms and schisms, man. It's about love. Christ died for love, man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. At the end of the day, you could do all of it. You can dot the I's and cross the T's. But if you ain't walking in love, I don't give a damn. I don't care what you're talking. You take your spirituality. You take your religion. You take your dogma. You take your masonry. You take your Hinduism. You take your Islam. You take your Christianity and your Bible and get it out my face. I don't want to hear it. Ain't nobody got time for that. That's our gospel. Love is the key, man. Love is the answer. And I think all of us have a piece of it. And I think Christ is the walking embodiment of that love, of love made manifest, man. He's so beautiful. And I like weaseling my way into some of these circles just to tell you guys at the end of the podcast that Jesus loves you. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you are looking to come to the Father, looking to come to God, give it a try. Tried everything else. Why not try him? You won't have to try anything else again. I'm telling you, he's beautiful. He's so good. With that, I'm going to say peace and shalom. I love you guys. And that's what it's about. Let us reason. Come together. Let us reason. You know what I'm saying? So may the peace of God bless you and keep you in everything that you do. Know who you are in Christ. Know who God has called you to be. Who God has created you to be. Walk in that. That's your identity. Nobody can take that from you. Nobody. Love, love, love. With that being said, again, peace and shalom. Y'all get at me, True Seeker Podcast, patreon.com/TrueSeeker. Get in on everything that I'm doing there and support the furtherance of the work I'm doing. In Jesus' name. See you guys later. Peace, peace. Where's that daggum outro?
That does it for this episode, folks. To hear more episodes of the Truth Seeker Podcast, head over to TruthSeeker.com. And if you're wanting to support the show and get rewards, go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/TruthSeeker.